Welcome to Crooked Stories Theater, where each week we bring you strange and quirky tales, stories with a small twist, an odd setting, a unique character. It could be a drama, a light horror, a sitcom, really any kind of story, as long as it's just a bit crooked. Hello, I'm Paul Knauer. Today we're bringing you another set of table reads. Three scripts, each with a distinctive style. Our first short is a horror script, a bit of a creature feature with just a tiny comedic touch. The second reading, a comedy short, will be a more traditional table read style. And just for fun, we're also reading a quick two-page horror comedy. Shorts have been chosen to highlight the range of the Crooked Stories Theater cast, the stars of the show. You'll hear all familiar voices today, cast across different roles to highlight their range. We begin with a short called Ole Bess's Bait Shop. Jason Burrows is our narrator. Chris Head plays Howard. Olivia Swad as Vera. That should be a fun one. And Drew Hudson as Bruno. So let's get started.
Ole Bess's Bait Shop by Paul Knauer. The sun shines brightly over a crisp mountain lake. Calm waters, blue skies, tall green trees. The only thing disrupting this pristine view is the shack on the near shore. Dilapidated, dirty, and dark, the lakeside store sports a hand-painted sign hanging crooked from the roof. Old Bess's Bait Shop. A bell rings gently as Howard, a refugee from the city if there ever was one, slips inside. An elderly woman, Vera, leans lazily against the register. Howard tosses a couple cans of bait and a few small supplies on the counter and reaches for his wallet.
You Bess?
Excuse me?
The sign. Bess's Bait Shop?
I don't do small talk, unless you got a fishing question.
Anything biting today?
With the right bait, it is.
She glances at the bait cans, rings them up.
Try the north side. That's where the big stuff is.
She reaches under the counter, pulls out a flare gun.
First sign of trouble.
Trouble? Is there...
Nothing my boy can't handle.
She slaps the gun into his hand.
Just point to the sky and pull.
Howard loads a small fishing boat. He tucks the flare gun under the seat, awkwardly drops into the boat, and heads out. On the front porch, Vera bobs gently in her rocking chair, watching Howard as he steers away from the dock. She reaches for a radio, keys the mic.
Thought we'd work the north side today.
Roger that. I'll be ready.
Just keep an eye out for the flare.
Oh, come on, Mama. You know I've done this lots before.
Just stay sharp.
Howard, long ago settled in, shakes off boredom. He pops a beer, leans against the boat motor.
Not even a nibble.
Behind him, long shadows stretch across the still water. His outline, his fishing pole, the boat. He doesn't see the new shadow appear, formed by the scaly hump of a creature slithering in the water behind him. Howard turns at the small splash of water as the creature slides back under. He only sees the ripples. Another splash, other side, behind him, again. Howard spins, again, only ripples. He grabs his pole, casts a new line in that direction.
Oh, might catch something big after all. Yes, sir.
The line catches, pulls tight, the rod bends, snaps. Vera, asleep in her rocking chair, jolts awake as a bright red flare arcs in the distance over the lake. She grabs the radio, keys the mic.
Did you see it?
On it, Mama.
And he is. Bruno braces himself, radio in hand, as his boat speeds across the lake. Ahead, Howard flails in the water. Bits of his boat and gear bob in the water around him. Bruno cuts the motor and drifts a short distance from Howard.
Help! Please!
Bruno ignores Howard as he scans the surface in all directions. A large tentacle breaches the water behind Howard. Bruno grabs a harpoon, tethered to coils of rope. Soon the full scale of the creature is evident as it rises from the water. Dozens of tentacles create giant waves as they slap at the water. Howard is but a dot against the gaping mouth full of crooked teeth. He screams as the creature clamps down and slurps him whole. Bruno spears the creature. It thrashes wildly and jets backward with a burst of energy. Bruno grabs the rope and braces against the hull of the boat. The rope pulls tight as the creature surges away. The boat bounces along, powered by the creature's escape. Suddenly, the rope snaps. The creature dives and the boat settles. Night falls as Vera stands to greet her defeated son.
Couldn't reel her in?
Finally hooked her mama, but the rope snapped.
She pulls him in gently, gives him a hug.
Oh, Bess ain't going down easy, I guess. Good fishing up north, though. We'll try there again tomorrow. If we get any bait.
They turn to head inside. A flickering light illuminates the sign above the shop. Old Bess's Bait Shop.
Old Bess's Bait Shop by Paul Knauer. Now we switch gears, move our actors around, and reset for a short called How Paul Died. It's a script that began with me asking the question, if today were the day that I died, how would it happen? Drew Hudson narrates in the classic table read style, meaning you'll hear what's called slug lines. They're basically directions for the production team, indicating whether to set up for an interior or exterior shot, where the shot takes place, and how to light the shot, day or night. It sounds like this. Exterior, small house, day. The character Paul is played by Chris Head, Olivia Swad as Christine, and Jason Burrows deftly handles two characters, side by side even, both Dan and Leonard.
How Paul Died, written by Paul Knauer. Fade in. Interior apartment. Bedroom, day. A touch of light peeks through the window. Paul, 40s, bolts awake, looks to the spot next to him. It's empty.
You making coffee?
Almost ready.
Bathroom. Paul showers. Steam builds up on the glass and mirror. He slides the glass door open, reaches to turn the fan on. Water builds at his feet, filling the base of the shower. Still, he stretches for the fan switch, just beyond a comfortable reach. As he's about to hit the switch, Christine, 40s, a whirl of activity, swings in.
I got it.
She hits the switch, continues to the sink, where she sets a cup of coffee on the counter.
Breakfast is almost ready.
As quickly as she came, she's out the door. Closet. Paul slides on a pair of pants, reaches for a pile of socks, mixed colors. A large box hangs precariously above him. The light snaps off, leaving him in utter darkness.
You okay?
My bad. I plugged in the crock pot.
With the toaster on, you know you can't do that.
Yes, honey, I know. I'll go flip the breaker.
In the darkness, by the dim light of his cell phone, Paul fumbles for the socks, struggles to put the first one on. Losing his balance, he grabs a shelf to steady himself. Unfortunately, in doing so, he knocks the box loose. He doesn't notice as it wobbles in place and finally tumbles. The box bounces off his head with a loud thump, knocking his phone from his hand. The room goes dark again. Bedroom. Paul steps from the closet, fully dressed in a suit and tie. Distracted by his now broken cell phone, he doesn't notice that he's wearing one white sock and one black sock. Kitchen. Paul, rubbing his head, rounds the corner, hugs Christine from behind as she uses a large knife to cut raw chicken.
Thought we'd do tacos tonight.
A hand talker, she flings the knife wildly as she speaks.
Shredded chicken. I could have done beef, but their beef is so spotty, and I thought, chicken, that sounds good.
She drops the chicken into the crock pot. Paul immediately jerks backward.
Oh my god, I got it in my mouth!
He races for the sink. Paul turns on the faucet and fights to get the stream directly onto his tongue.
What?
Chicken juice. It splattered when you dropped it in the crock pot.
Overreact much? It's not going to kill you.
It landed right on my tongue!
Interior, car, day. Paul rides in the passenger seat. Dan, 50s, businessman, drives while Leonard, 40s, neurotic, frantically types into his smartphone.
That's bad.
I know, right?
Paul uses a napkin to repeatedly wipe his tongue.
Salmonella can kill you.
He shows the phone to Paul.
Says right here, causes more cases of food poisoning than any other pathogen.
Oh, God.
He grabs another napkin, wipes his tongue with renewed urgency.
Food poisoning, not death. Do you know how many people die every year from food poisoning?
Do you?
I bet it's a lot.
I wouldn't worry about any bacteria that sounds like it's named after an ineffectual mob boss.
You want to know the weird thing? Last night, I dreamt I died. Today.
Really? How'd you go?
Stop talking about this. It's too spooky.
It's random synapses.
You keep talking. It's tempting fate, which you really shouldn't do. Not while Pauly boy might be dying.
He's not dying.
No, he's right.
Oh, come on. You too?
Dan laughs, turns to the back seat.
If talking about death made it happen, then there'd be no...
The car's bumper sits mere inches from that of a large truck. The men stare blankly ahead.
Told you!
Exterior. Car. Day. The car pulls to a stop across from a courthouse.
Hey, you be careful out there, Pauly boy.
Yeah, careful.
Paul glumly slides from his seat, closes the door. He starts across the street.
Poor guy.
Real shame.
Noticing something, Leonard rolls down the car window, calls out.
Hey, Paul!
Paul turns back.
Your socks! You got two different colors on!
Paul looks down, pulls up his pant legs, sure enough. He shrugs to Leonard. Interior, car, continuous. Leonard laughs until his eyes go wide.
Why?
Interior, apartment, hallway, day. Paul stands at a closed door, holding a laptop. On the screen, a script. This script.
You see, he was killed by his socks.
That's great, honey. Can I finish going to the bathroom?
It's funny. Right?
I guess. Not very realistic.
His shoulders slump. He looks to the ground. Notices his socks. Different colors.
You're not gonna believe this.
He bends down. Pulls his pant legs up for a closer look. The bathroom door swings open.
Believe what?
The door hits Paul in the butt, sending him flying straight down the stairs. And that is how Paul died.
How Paul Died by Paul Knauer. Finally, we give you a quick hit horror comedy. Two pages, a simple question. Who killed the cat? Chris Head narrates, Olivia Swad as Muriel, and Jason Burrows as Bert.
Who Killed the Cat? Written by Paul Knauer. Darkness falls over a quiet farmhouse. Broken and battered, this is not a place of happiness or comfort. Inside, in the dimly lit kitchen, Muriel angrily stirs a pot of food, her back to the dining room where her husband Bert sets the table for dinner. She stares out a nearby window, her gaze locked on a small grave outside. Fresh dirt, a handmade cross, a scrawled sign reading, Muffin. Muriel slips a tiny bottle from her apron pocket, and sheltering it from view, pours a couple of drops of liquid into the pot. She hesitates. Then, with another glance outside, she empties the whole bottle into the pot. She slips the bottle into her pocket, fills two bowls, and spins for the dining room.
Got you some wine tonight. Good stuff.
Done pouring, he grabs a spoon.
Ooh, lordy lordy, I'm hungry. Thought you might have gotten lost in there or something.
He devours the food as Muriel just watches and smiles.
Aren't you gonna eat, woman?
I'm not hungry.
Bert stops eating. He cocks his head. Something's not right. Muriel pulls the bottle from her pocket, sets it on the table. For Bert, the realization is immediate.
Well, why?
You have to ask.
Well, yeah.
The cat, you idiot. You killed my cat.
Muriel sits back. She drinks a large swig of wine, soaks in her revenge. Bert clutches his throat with one hand as the symptoms get worse. With the other hand, he reaches into his pocket. He sets a small bottle on the table, similar to hers. She glances at the wine glass. Her turn for realization.
I thought you killed my cat. Muffin was the only thing I loved.
Muriel clutches her throat.
If you didn't, and I, then...
Bert foams at the mouth. Still, it's not enough to hide his look of pride.
They grow up so fast.
Bert drops dead.
Such a good boy.
She drops dead, smile forever plastered on her face. Later, flies buzz around the dead couple. A young boy, 9, ambles into the room. He pushes Muriel's body from the chair, and using the chair as a step stool, grabs a snack from an upper cabinet. He hops back down and strides from the room.
Who Killed the Cat? By Paul Knauer. Thank you for listening to Crooked Stories Theater. Tune in each week for new episodes or even completely new projects. If you enjoy our stories, please help us spread the word and follow us on your favorite platform. And if you're listening on a platform that allows reviews or ratings, well, we'd sure appreciate the boost of a good review. Finally, we invite you to visit crookedstories.com for more information on who we are, our actors, our stories, and upcoming projects. You might even bump into a bit of bonus content, such as downloadable scripts. Again, thank you for listening. We hope to see you again soon.